You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Ole. I'm joined by co-host Ray Jeezy. And we are part of Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com. What's going on, Ray Jeezy? What's good, bro?
Bro, I need your help. can you fix my my X handle?
What's happening?
I'm having some issues, bro.
You back on liking stuff now? You back on this too now?
No. Oh yeah, I got to stop holding my hand like that. So look, no. Do you see my name though? It says at Urban Sports. Because I have an issue with my keyboard right now. It's crazy. These technical difficulties are annoying, bro.
I don't even know if I can fix that, bro. Rename. Let's see. I'm looking at it.
If you can, it's all good.
No, it says Ray removed. You just hit the dotted line, bro. Hit the dotted lines okay. on the top.
We'll leave
bro.
It like that. It's fine. It's no big deal. But here's the thing. I am doing good. I got to watch my hand signals today. But Wole, I see you trying to be messy right now, bro.
I'm not being messy. I'm keeping it a buck. It's actually an experiment. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to prove a point that anybody can look to anybody's vantage point can look a certain way. That's all I'm saying. I'm just here to prove a point.
No, like when you start referencing Zach Wilson, I said, well, they being funny out here in these streets.
No, for real. Because there's some of these same dudes. I'm petty. I went and searched. I'm not putting any names out there, but I went on my Twitter handle and searched Zach Wilson Commanders. And I seen a bunch of folks that were saying, Zach Wilson, we should trade up to get Zach Wilson. A bunch of folks who were saying that a certain quarterback is definitely him. Their track record is trash. I'm keeping a buck. But I'm being quiet right now. I'm being real nice because a lot of them, like over the last couple years of their quarterback selections, hasn't been good. And they've been touting this whole, I want this person, I want that person. We're going to get into it. But the message to my madness is this. It's this simple. Stop acting indefinite. That's all it is. Stop. Like, this dude is trash. You don't know. Like, you don't know. So stop. Like, I'm not even saying this dude is trash. I always say for me, like, he's just not my cup of tea. I could be, and I always put it out there, I could be wrong. But some of y'all out there saying, this dude is going to be it. This dude way better than that. You don't know. So stop acting like it. Stop talking indefinite. Just talk like, all right, I prefer this person. If you say, I prefer this person, you sound more real. But when you try to like you try to bury somebody to raise your dude up. Yeah, I got a problem with that. I just want to put it out there. That's all. That was my Twitter. That was what I was doing on X. And people passed the test.
It's a lot of the history we can go through. There was a group that was loving Colt Brennan. That's part of Commander Nation, or back then it was the Redskins. There's also some folks out there that wanted Mark Sanchez to be the franchise quarterback.
I remember that too. So, yeah.
You're right to a degree. You have to know, obviously, your facts. You have to know numbers. You have to watch college football. And you can't just go off feeling based on pro days and shorts. I don't get impressed by pro days. I'm a Caleb Williams fan. I love the type of ball he throws. But let me tell you what's going to look good in their pro day. He's in Tennessee. His name is Malik Willis. He threw some amazing, back shoulder throws, and it was like, damn, Malik Willis might be the guy. You just don't know. It's hard
to tell.
Some folks wanted
him. See, you know what? I can't.
Anyway, go ahead. Let's get into particulars as you always say, and we can get started.
No lies told, bro. Like,
I'm so glad I'm not a Commanders fan, though. It's so dope. I can just sit back and have fun.
I'm having fun too, bro. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Just search the Urban Sports Scene.
Hey, also hit us up on X at Urban Sports Scene. Check us out on IG at Urban Sports Scene. And then go on Facebook, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page as well. If you're over there, hey, check me out. I'm at Urban Sports _ Ray on IG. I'm at Urban Sports Ray. I don't know.
What did you really do though? Like, real talk. What did you do to turn? Like, I've never seen this happen. Like,
no, it's Apple. My keyboard upgrade happened. My keyboard got rid of underscores somehow, so I can't put underscores. I kept putting dash, and then all of a sudden I was stuck. Once I got on. So right now I'm at Urban Sports. That's fine.
Yeah, I want to fix this shirt for you because it's annoying me now. Like, this shirt is annoying me.
Oh, don't worry about
it,
brother. It's okay.
You know what I'm saying? It just edit your mic. That's all I can do, though. I can't do it.
I don't care about followers, bro.
You know what I'm saying? What you talking about? You don't care about followers. You need to care about followers.
I don't personally care about followers. Yes, follow the Urban Sports Scene.
Hey, like you need to be careful about follows.
Hit us up on X at Urban Sports Scene. I just told everybody. Well, like, go ahead, move on, bro.
Urban Sports, I hate that crap. All right. Also, short our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports blogger, sports podcaster, sports man. Debates, man. Hey, let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll debate if the Washington Commanders should draft J.J. McCarthy. At 8:30, we'll preview the Washington Nationals upcoming season with Talk Nats, Kevin Nibley. And finally, at 8:50, we'll talk about which NCAA tournament has been better, the men or the women.
POV was good. You always welcome to come on POV. You got to hit us up, brother.
Hit us up early, bro. Real
talk. Hey, let us know you're trying to come on. Yeah. Hey, POV, are you a Michigan fan? Nope, you're a Bama fan. My bad. So,
yeah, Bama fan.
You might have been objective. That might have been a good look. But Wole already gave the teaser. There are reports that the Washington Commanders really like J.J. McCarthy out of Wole's Michigan Wolverine camp. We're, I guess, smart enough to know that the Commanders wouldn't take him with the number two pick.
I hope
we're smart enough to know that.
I think so. I think we are smart enough to know.
NFL draft.
That's not going to happen. They're going to take a number two pick.
Would it be a good look for the Commanders to trade back and get J.J. McCarthy? Social media was blowing up. Wole got his thoughts. That's your man, Wole. You don't want him. But go ahead, Wole. What you think?
I am honest. So, again, see, this is how I'm going to show you all how non-biased I am compared to a lot of y'all. Like, a lot of you. You all are very biased. J.J. McCarthy, I said this prior. Like, I don't think J.J. was ready to come out early. Everyone knows that. I've said this. Like, I don't think J.J. – I thought J.J. would be better suited to stay in Michigan. But I know why he left, because Jim Harbaugh left, so he decided to leave too. But if you watch J.J. McCarthy play football, if you really watch him, you know that he got better every year. And what he does as a football player, it's almost – and people are going to go – they're going to go crazy with it, but it's the truth. It's like he's not as good, but he has Tom Brady-ish qualities. What I mean by that is he's not going for the big play. He's going to take what you give him. So a lot of people aren't fixated on what he does as a passer. But when you ask him to go make a play, like throwing, like you're going against a tough defense like Ohio State, and you saw against Alabama, when it gets clutch time, J.J. brings his game to another level. So J.J. is capable of making big plays. He wasn't asked to do a lot. But you say the same thing about, I don't know if folks remember, like even Andrew Luck. If you watch Andrew Luck, as much as we love Andrew Luck in Stanford under Jim Harbaugh, they ran the ball a lot. You know what I mean? They ran a ball a lot in Stanford. So when people use that argument about J.J., I'm like, y'all, pump your brakes. I'm not saying he is Andrew Luck, but Jim Harbaugh, that's the style of play that Jim Harbaugh does. He loves to play that ground and pound football, play action. That's his style. He runs an NFL type of offense. So J.J. was asked to do a lot. J.J. was asked to do a lot in terms of the offense, set people up. So J.J.'s smart enough to run on an NFL offense. J.J.'s inconsistent. You know what I mean? So that's why I think J.J. to me is a second-round pick. I don't think he's a first-round pick, but I understand the promise that people see in J.J. because J.J. gets better every year, and if he sits under somebody with sits behind a vet, you can get the best out of J.J. McCarthy. I think you can get somebody who can be better than your favorite quarterback in this draft. Like, I definitely think J.J., because if J.J. left next year, he would be the first quarterback picked in the draft. So
check this out.
Yeah. Agreed. Intangibles, but his play does not fault his it's not his fault. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Also, this is something I told POV, this is what I agree with that. I totally agree with that statement, because I do think it's slight, and Paul, he's not on the show. I mean, he's not in the comments, but he tweeted me and we talked about this yesterday. I do think that it's unfair for JJ to be, in my opinion, a little bit unfair to JJ to be touted so highly, because I think other quarterbacks in years past with like that type of body of work weren't uplifted where JJ's at in this draft. So I do agree with you. I think the body of work in terms of throwing the football at Michigan doesn't really warrant a top 10 pick. I agree with that statement, but I do think that, and that's because of the offense. But if you really break down JJ's potential, knowing that he's one of the top, he's a five-star recruit. He's one of the top, with one of the top quarterbacks coming into college football, coming out of high school. Like, you know, the pedigree's there, but I agree. That's why I go back to my statement. Watching JJ, I don't think JJ is a top five-ish draft pick, but I do get it, though. Like, I think JJ does things that a lot of quarterbacks in this draft don't do well. Like, JJ, to me, anticipates better than a lot of quarterbacks. JJ can throw through short windows. JJ didn't have a top-tier receiving core. Like, other than, like, May, you can, other than May didn't have a top receiving core, but JJ didn't have a top receiving core compared to a a Jaden Daniels, even Caleb Williams. Most, like, you look at Roman Wilson was JJ's best receiver, and Roman Wilson's probably, truth be told, is a third, fourth round draft pick. So I'm just saying, like, JJ has not even had a top tier wide receiver that he can lead on and say get open often. If you look at the separation of where the type of separation Michigan wide receivers were making, they weren't big. It wasn't big separation. So I'm just saying, like, the only cats to me that was getting separation for JJ, truth be told, were the tight ends. If you watch, and you could say some of the backs. If you really watch, that's why I want to tell folks. If you really watch Michigan games, people are like, he ain't throw for this amount of yards. Dude, his receivers weren't really getting that open. They keep it a buck. His receivers really weren't getting that open. So they ran a particular style. But when he was asked to make certain big plays, JJ made big plays. But back to the original statement with Ray, we were all talking about, is it a good look? I feel like if you trade back, it's a good look. I mean, if you trade back, I can see why, because you can build your team if you trade back. But at two, it's not a good look. You know what I'm saying? It's not a good look. But I don't like the, I guess my thing about the whole JJ McCarthy. Oh man, I've heard people say if we get JJ McCarthy, I don't even want to. Like, I'm done with this team. I'm like, bruh, if this organization believes that JJ McCarthy is good, you all complain about having a front office that you can trust, then trust the front office. Obviously, they see something.
We got some good comments. My man POV back on there. I watched film on JJ thoroughly, and he's much better than folks think, but he hasn't had enough in-game reps to go that early. Dude, Janae checking in. Shout out to him. I think when you look at quarterback mechanics, he has a lot of good traits. He also didn't have a great wide receiver core, which Wole was just referring to. To be honest, JJ did more with less. I'm not sure he's a top five or top 10 pick. Dude, Janae, that's cool. So I'm looking at some of the draft analyst grades, okay? Yeah. And you'll see that JJ McCarthy's been getting somewhere around an A minus. However, a lot of these draft analysts have him ranked behind Michael Penix as well as Bo Nix. And many think that Penix is a second round pick. Mm-hmm. So why would you take JJ McCarthy in the first round if he's being ranked behind these guys who many believe are either late first or second round picks? I just don't think it makes sense. You can get him later, and then that's when you can start to flirt with one of these receivers if you're not going to take a quarterback in the top five. But again, I don't want to start that up today. But what I'm saying is JJ McCarthy, he won a national championship. Whenever you have a national championship winning quarterback, unless they're Tim Tebow, who many knew he probably wasn't going to translate, or his talents wouldn't translate to the NFL, you're going to receive interest. Look at what happened to Cardale Jones when Ohio State won. Was he considered an NFL prospect initially? No. But his stock skyrocketed. I'm not going to say he wasn't considered a prospect, but he wasn't considered a top prospect.
No, I just think the talent was different. But go ahead, though. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I'm just saying, you think he was better than JJ?
No, I just think he had more talent around him to make him look good. That's people say, you come out, folks come out and say that JJ ain't, like, put up numbers like that, but when you look at, all right, Michael Penix, he's a first round, a top 10 receiver.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? LSU, they got two first rounders, bro. One top five and another first rounder in Thomas.
True.
All your favorite quarterbacks, everybody likes to mention, have a top receiver. Roman Wilson isn't a top, is a third, fourth round pick. JJ working with less. I'm serious. Like, the only people that JJ can throw the football to that can create separation is the tight ends. Real talk. Tight ends. And so I would be real interested to see if those dudes can flourish in a JJ. I know what Jim Harbaugh is coming from. When he said that, though he's biased, I know, like, looking at the situation where I don't think that some of these quarterbacks can flourish in Michigan's offense.
Does Harbaugh's track record factor into your thinking in terms of how he develops quarterbacks?
He does a good job. He did the same. He helped develop. He got, what's the name? Josh. What's the dude that just played for Washington, San Diego State? He had him in San Diego State. The black dude. You know what I'm talking about? Josh. He played Jake? For.
I mean, that's.
No. He's a quarterback. Said Josh Johnson.
Josh Johnson. There we go.
Yeah. He had Josh Johnson in the league. He got Josh Johnson in the league. Obviously, Andrew Luck. That's an easy one. Right. He's done well. Thank you, POV. Yeah. He's done well with these quarterbacks. And again, you got Jim Harbaugh teaching you an NFL style offense. You already understand things that some of these dudes don't. And you could see that. So I'll put this out there in POV and folks, y'all know this, like when JJ gets in pressure, he ain't throwing across his body 9 times out of 10. He's throwing the ball away. He did NFL stuff in college. Like he's not going out there forcing a play. You know what I'm saying? But while some of these other dudes, they're forcing plays. JJ ain't forcing the play. He's gonna make the play that you need. It may not result in the first down, but it's gonna move the chain sometimes. It may not get the complete 10-yard pass. Say he falls short, but the chains are moving. The ball, you know what I'm saying? It's not, you know what I'm saying? The chains, when the ball's moving, he's going forward. JJ's gonna make the play. It's just like, I'm gonna say it again. It's like early Tom Brady. Like, and not all-time great Tom Brady. I'm talking about early Tom Brady when he was like managing games. You know what I'm saying? JJ can do that part from the beginning. It's up to him taking his game to the next level. But JJ can win you football games. But I still think that JJ's better suited sitting. I don't know if he's better suited sitting here, playing here, because you got Marcus Mariota as your quarterback. And I don't think that he can, like, make Marcus Mariota will help keep JJ off the field. You know what I'm saying?
That's a great point. So in terms of pros and cons, I don't want to steal your thunder.
Go ahead.
You made a comment on X. I don't have it right in front of me, but it spoke to the effect of I'm not really tripping off his weight like everybody else is criticizing him for being a little skinnier. Can you expound upon that? Because most critics say he's a bit too small, and that's not going to change because this has been basically his body type or his physique throughout his playing career.
JJ?
Yeah.
No, he put on weight. He put on weight in the combine. You had to see it. He put on weight in the combine.
How much weight?
He got bigger. I feel like I want to say he was at
So that's not an issue for you. That's what I'm asking.
Oh no. He put on weight though. He put on the weight. I don't care about weight though. It's personally. I'm not a weight person in terms of
the football. I saw you put something out there.
Yeah, don't bother me. But he put on weight though. JJ put on weight though. But it's not a big deal. I don't care if he put on weight though. That doesn't do nothing for me. Like,
well, yeah, it's just like they criticize Joe Burrow's hand size.
Yeah,
remember?
Jane Daniels, this whole thing about his weight. Yeah, he
had
12 pounds.
I mean,
So
I mean, I don't think that's enough to silence those critics. But for
he's back up to
regardless.
Now he's at 212. No, he's at two. He's an average quarterback. Now? Yeah, he's at two. He's like 215. That's what they want.
I thought he was already 215.
He's over that. I'm sorry. He's over that.
He was 215 that were on the national championship, I know. And
yeah, so he's over that. Sorry, he's in 220s.
He's 216.
Yeah, he's not small, bro. He's not and that's
6'4",
not
216.
Yeah, that's not. He was
240. Oh, he
204.
Was 204.
That's right. Yeah, 204.
Okay.
Yeah, he put on weight. I know it, right? Thank you.
POV,
but that's not a big deal to me. Point is, it's not a big deal to me.
The most important things is accuracy, arm strength, pocket presence, also being able to read defenses. Where do you think he checks all the boxes there, considering you're a Michigan dude?
He reads defenses. He's inconsistent, though. That's my problem with JJ. He could be inconsistent. Days he look hot. Days he looks like in the beginning of the season, you watch JJ, he looked like one of the best quarterbacks in the country by far in the beginning of the season. Then sometimes he goes through points where his accuracy's a little bit off. So I keep it a buck. Like, that's what I'm saying. I watch JJ. That's why I'm like, I feel like he stayed in school. That could be ironed out. But I do think that he still needed a year with Jim Harbaugh. So I understand why he left. I get why he left. But an extra year in college to me would have did him right. That's why I think him sitting in the following year, because he gets better every year, the following year, you're going to get an awesome version of JJ McCarthy. But again, it also depends on where he goes. You know, I've heard, you know, if it's not Washington,
Minnesota.
I don't think. Yeah. And he can be with Kevin O'Connell. Who runs that system. That runs that Shanahan system which I think he'd be very successful in. He fits that type of system. You know what I'm saying? So
you see, most of the time, rookie quarterbacks have a difficult time adjusting to the speed of the NFL at first. It don't matter how strong of an arm you have. Johnny Manziel is one of the, I guess, biggest examples of that I can think of in recent history, where he had a cannon in school. He dominated, but he had a hard time adjusting. The game was so fast for him. I don't see that being an issue for JJ, though. I think that he would step in. I think he would automatically feel comfortable playing at the NFL level. Because, honestly, if you're going to trade back and get JJ McCarthy, I'm not starting on Mariota. I feel like JJ would be better off the jump than him. I really do. I'm
not arguing with that. I'm not arguing that. I just don't want him. I don't want JJ to start his rookie year. But I'm not. But I don't think Mariota is good enough to make him not start. That's the problem.
Right.
That's the problem.
I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I agree with that, Paul. That's why I feel like Matt Ryan is his ceiling,
which isn't bad. I mean, yeah. Matt Ryan was compared to Tom Brady at a time.
Yes, and POV, I appreciate that because the Big Ten, we already know the Big Ten from a defensive standpoint is good every season. Now it's not like it was when we was kids. POV, the Big Ten was like the NFL back in the late 90s. Back in the Charles Woodson days.
It's only really two good defense teams in the Big. I'm gonna be real. It's only like two real thorough defensive teams in the Big Ten. And that's
currently, right?
Currently. That's Ohio State, Michigan. Okay.
And then also going against his own defense in practice. That's what POV's
talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's
said
right.
Johnny was drunk most of the game. Dujane. Hey, Manziel was partying, but you know he partied in school. He partied in school as well. So
Iowa got Iowa. That's true.
Then I feel like you can prepare. I feel like you can prepare for the league playing against Alabama at Bama. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, going back to McCarthy, I don't think they're going to draft McCarthy, though, to be honest. It's a great discussion. But I feel like Jaden Daniels, for what you're looking to do, I feel like his upside is just too high to pass on.
Why is it, though? Because McCarthy's younger. He's younger. I mean, he's younger. And you don't
mean
know,
just in terms of upside?
Yeah, he's younger. Like a lot of people think you're good, which so a lot of scouts think to keep it a buck. That and I don't agree because they're all to me, they're all young. So but you know, I mean it goes about your own perspective. A lot of folks think that Jaden Daniels physically gifted, his upside is he can get but so much higher. That's what a lot of folks say. He can get but so much higher. I still think he's relatively young. So I'm not using that at all. I'm just saying that what other scouts have said. JJ's upside is to me is still growing. It's growing because I don't think he's even been close to where he can be. JJ can run. He's mobile. He's got a good arm. He's got it here. Like he's got it here. He has all the tools to be something good, something real good. It's all about obviously like all these kids, man. That's one thing I don't like. I'm not bashing nobody. Like all these kids, everybody has the potential to do whatever they can do. Like Jaden Daniels has potential to do whatever he can do. Drake May has potential to do whatever he does. Caleb Williams to me has a bunch of potential to do whatever he needs to do in the league to be successful. But it's all about how much work you're going to grind and put on that football field internally and mentally. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I'm at with it. JJ is better than Drake than May, who is a project. May, who says May is a project? Everybody says May is a project. Look, man, I'm gonna keep saying this. That's what folks' idea of Drake May is. That's a project, dog. All right, forget it. You just call him a project. Josh Allen was a project. Then, how good is Josh Allen? He was a project. Everybody was ready to get rid of Josh Allen after year one. Project, I guess. That's what I'm saying. Like we could, like all these dudes' projects keep it a buck. Other than Caleb Williams, all these dudes' projects. I'm gonna keep it a buck. Other than Caleb Williams, all these dudes' projects.
Ooh, ooh, my man Paul Five. That's your man. Y'all always.
No. He ain't Josh. No. Some people. I want people to go back to their tweets and talk about how they talked about Josh Allen back then. Really? No. Go back to the tweets and talk about how folks are talking about Josh Allen after year one. That's what I want. Go back. Folks need to go back to their tweets and talk about how they talked about Josh Allen after year one.
That's all I'm saying. You think that Drake May got the highest ceiling, though, if he becomes what people think he can become? Out of all the quarterbacks in this draft. I mean, outside of Caleb. I'm sorry. Caleb.
I don't know, man. All I'm saying is, like, everybody – I'm not knocking none of these talents, man. I'm not knocking none of these talents. All I'm saying is that – like it's hard. Folks can't keep coming out and talk indefinite. That's the problem. I'm gonna say it again. Indefinite. You can't say this person going to be trash. This person going to be trash. Folks out here talking indefinite, man. We can't keep doing that because nobody truly knows. All you can say like I prefer this person more. That's cool. I'm good with that. Like, cause I'm gonna say like I prefer. Look, I like JJ. I'm a Michigan fan. I like Drake May more than I like JJ. You know what I'm saying? Oh, he clapping hands. Yeah,
he's talking about you.
I know. I know. I know. He's talking about me. Oh. I'm clapping. I know. I like Yeah, like I like Drake more than I like JJ. And I'm a Michigan fan. You know what I'm saying? That's it. I you know what I mean? But
behold, Wally. He calls you pastor.
People said, like, all right, there are, you know how many people were criticizing so many, like, who I'm sure they were quarterback, they were criticizing. Matter of fact, I know a lot of people thought that CJ Stroud wasn't going to be good. I know people on here that thought CJ Stroud wasn't going to be good. I'm going to keep it buck. I was one of them too. But I know a lot of folks who on this chat thought CJ Stroud wasn't going to be good. And he's probably one of the best young quarterbacks that we've seen in a long time off the rip.
Brother.
Look, that's all I'm saying,
you
bro.
You talk about making the simple plays, right? But a lot of fans don't want that. A lot of fans want the big arm.
If you want
the big arm, then Drake May is probably the better of the two, depending on what style of quarterback you like. Now, if you want a quarterback who, like you said, well, they can read defenses, is going to make the right plays, and has that potential to become, when you throw Brady's name out there and you look at that Michigan line of quarterbacks, even Chad Henne, I think, is still a good quarterback, good backup in the league, then you might want J.J. McCarthy. Like I said, it depends on your patience level, too, because we've had mixed reactions from Commanders fans on this platform about, do we have enough patience to wait for another 3 years for this team to be good with a young quarterback?
That's the thing. And it's all about, just like anything, it's all about who drafts who and where they land. Like, do you think Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes if he doesn't go to Andy Reid?
And if he doesn't sit for a year?
Yeah. Is he Patrick Mahomes?
I never said Chad was a starter. I said he's a good backup.
Chad who?
Henne.
Oh, yeah, nah, he's a good backup.
That's what I said.
He's a good backup.
No, I just threw him out there. I said that Michigan lineage.
At this point, I'm for
Tom Brady, obviously, is at the top of that.
I'm with you. No, I'm just saying, like, that's my thing. Like, you know, like, so it depends where you go. Also, man, it just depends where you go.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, we got
about 2 minutes before.
I know we got to wrap this up. Yeah,
I appreciate it because the majority of you do not want JJ McCarthy. That's what I know. So that's the consensus. But the Drake May fans, they're a little few these days. Jaden Daniels seems like the guy, as far as what I'm seeing. That's what I'm looking at right now.
Well, as you know, what my real beef is with the presentation. I love you, Paul, man. You my guy, bro. You know what I'm saying? You already know you might know what time it is, bro. You know, we talk about this. We chat about this type of stuff on X, you know what I'm saying? On the DM joint, man. We chat about this.
Commanders fans, are you
my
going
God,
to have
Paul,
to compete
don't forget that,
by
bro.
Scoring a lot of points, considering that Saquon is now in Philly? You know what Dak and Dallas does during the regular season with CeeDee Lamb being one of the top receivers in the league. And right then you always have your problems with the Giants. So are you going to need to outscore teams, or can you defensively be a team that's strong and give your offense a chance to win the game, man, in the fourth quarter?
Look, it's all about who do you think. And again, I'm Drake May, so that's
your thank you, Eric. It's not a lot of patience, bro.
Yeah, no, you know, yeah, I put it out there already. But I was like, who do you all like? Who do you think works best? All good, works best. Don't do that crap. You press. Who do you think?
It didn't work. Best?
I know, happy it didn't. Cliff Kingsbury, man. That's all. Who works best with Cliff Kingsbury? Oh, you trash. That sucks. You're trash. That sucks. That's all about. That's about.
I'll be honest. I'm not a scheduled person because you never know how the team is going to look and who they're going to play well against. Like last season, they played well against teams that, like, they played well at Seattle. I didn't see that one coming. And they played well against Philly. They were the only team to stop that brotherly shove. You never know. You go out and you play on Sundays. That's how I look at it. But I guess when you think about non-conference or non-divisional opponents, you do have to get concerned. You have to, because we don't know what to expect. It's going to be interesting to see if they start their rookie quarterback, depending on who they take. But great discussion. Listen, J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy and Wale's a Michigan guy. It was perfect. Because he's not biased because he wanted J.J. to stay. That's why when I saw the topic, I was like, I know how Wale feels already, but I also know he's trolling some folks too out here.
I ain't trolling nobody. Yeah, I am trolling y'all though too. I'm doing both. I'm trolling some of y'all though. Some of y'all I am trolling. I ain't gonna hold you. That's my personality though. I will troll if I need to. But I do want y'all to stop talking to Daphne. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Back at him, Paul.
Look, I will, but good info, man. Thank you, Eric, man. I told you, like JJ, I know JJ. I will say this though, before we get to our guest though, I want to say this. Y'all need to stop talking. I'm gonna keep my message, and this is it. Y'all need to stop talking indefinites though. If you, because you don't know if they're gonna be good or not. Like, just like I don't know. Bro, like I said, some of us on here said that CJ Stroud was going to be bad. And look at him.
That was so, mainly you. I like
you. No, not you. No. There's some folks in here too. I didn't say you.
I did not like.
Yeah, I know. I Bryce like, Young. I know you said that.
Yeah, I didn't like Bryce.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. Yeah.
Anyway.
But it is what it is. We got a guest coming on. So, hey, y'all, man, appreciate y'all. You know what I'm saying?
Check out the other platform too. All Burgundy or everything.
You're going to talk about that too over there.
Continue.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Definitely are. You know what I'm saying? But it's opening day in baseball is tomorrow, man. Right now we have Kevin Nibley from Talk Nat, on the show. What's going on? Hold on. What's going on, Kev?
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing, Kev? It's good to have you. We get to see you in person. So
I've been working on this joke for a while, but you were talking to a nerdy white guy the whole time. I mean, that was probably like a big surprise, right? It's good to see you. It's good to see you in person. This is, I don't know how many times I've been on the show, but it's the first time.
A lot. It's been cool. We love having you on, man. We do. We actually think of you as part of the Urban Sports Scene family, to be honest with you, my man.
Oh, for sure.
I am saying.
Likewise. Yes, so this is, I'm actually in Cincinnati to go to the game tomorrow. So
okay. Perfect segue.
Hotel background. I just got here. I'm off some weird hotel on I-70. I don't know. But anyway, I'll have the Nats flag or something.
I do have, my man Paul has a quick question for you before we actually go to our topic. He says, will James Woods make the opening day roster?
Unfortunately he didn't make the opening day roster. Okay. But he should have. I mean, if he is one of the best three outfielders, I think it's essentially a service time thing. Basically, the Nats aren't necessarily trying to win the NL East this year. If they hold him back a couple months, they'll get this year plus six more. And I do think that was probably a consideration. But if they were, picking the best three outfielders, would have deserved to have made it.
But go ahead, Ray. So are you?
I was going to say you were in Cincinnati. Opening day is upon us now. What can you tell the people out here to expect from the Nationals this upcoming season?
I think it's going to be really similar to last year.
They won 70, right? They won like 70, right?
They won 71 last year. I think it'll be about that. I think the over under in Vegas is 66 and a half. It's like somewhere in the high 60s. I think it'll probably be similar to last season, about 70 wins, but there is some upside. I think, Josiah Gray, Mackenzie Gore, Jake Irvin's been really good lately. They have the potential of a young staff forming. Cade Cavalli's going to hopefully be back at some point. And then you do have like some of these whale prospects like James Wood, Dylan Cruz, that certainly should be up at some point this year. So, even if they win 70 or 75, the last couple of months might be exciting because at that point, hopefully you'll see like what the team will look like next year and moving forward is actually attempt to compete again.
What's going on with Cade Cavalli? Like, will he be back? Would it be late in the summer or will he not play? I'm real curious.
He'll play this year. He's coming off a TJ suffered about a year ago. It was like right at the end of spring training last year. So essentially, I think they'll have him on an innings limit. I do probably expect to see him up maybe like June, July, at some
point. Soon.
I think they'll build him up and they'll, hopefully, I think usually after a TJ, I don't know, maybe 80 innings, 100, like they're not going to push him too far. So I think that hopefully the goal for them would be to get him up a little more around the middle of the season or a little before the middle of the season and hopefully have him finish the season would be my guess. I'm not the team doctor, but that would, the way they've handled it in the past, that would be my guess of what they do.
Interesting. All right. So the Nats option wants top third base prospect Carter Kieboom to AAA because he cleared off waivers. They have Nick Senzel as the starting third baseman. He will Well, let me ask a question. Will they consider playing, because I think the other kid's better, will they consider playing prospect Brady House or go back to Keboom towards the end, towards the middle of the season?
Yeah, I think Keboom, I don't think Keboom's got much of a future. I think it'll probably be either Senzel. In their perfect world plan, I think it would be like Senzel, and he'd do well. He'd you know, finally, he was Senzel, I think, was the number two overall pick in a draft years ago. Yeah. He's one of those guys who had a lot of potential. We're kind of taking a flyer on him. I think in a perfect world, Senzel would be great. They could flip him at the deadline, kind of like what they did with Candelaria last year. Yeah. And then maybe they trade him at the end of July. Then they bring in House to finish the season. I think if, you know, that would be Mike Rizzo's dream. Keboom, I don't really see as part of the equation unless he just, you know, I don't know, maybe he kills it in AAA, or maybe someone gets, maybe, you know, Senzel gets injured. And they, like, if Senzel got injured or just was god awful in the first month or so, maybe they give Keboom the shot instead of bringing House up at that point. Then, you know, the Keboom would have to just go crazy. You know, it's anything's possible in the sport of baseball, but I think Keboom's kind of like, that ship has probably sailed for him, most likely. You know.
Oh, so my man Todd has a question for you. Can we ask Kev if he thinks this group of young Nats could be good as the previous run we had?
I do, actually. That's, I know it's kind of been a negative. It's not like, oh, it's opening day, we're gonna win a division. I mean, I don't think anyone's feeling that way, you know. But if you wanna be positive, I mean, like, you know, Woods, House, obviously Cruz, and then, you know, they're going to have the number 10 pick coming up in the draft this year. And honestly, they're probably going to have like another top 10 pick next year. So, you know, I think basically the answer to that is yes, if they spend, you know, that's the big if. If, because you could see between Gray, Gore, Irvin, Cavalli, you know, that's not a horrible 2-5 if they keep progressing, you know. So if the Lerners give Rizzo some money and he goes out next offseason, you know, gets like a Walker Buehler, like some of the, you know, there's some, like, you know, Jordan Montgomery just signed a 1-year deal, which means he'll be a free agent next year. And there are some ones that might be out there. If the Nats go out and try to get a one, you know, then yeah, I think their position players are shaping up nicely. Like CJ Abrams looks like he could potentially be a superstar. Ruiz defensively isn't amazing, but offensively he was getting pretty good towards the end of last year. So yeah, I think the position player group, they have a good young core. And if the Lerners will push, I think, you know, their payroll this year is like 115-ish, somewhere like that. You know, if he goes back up closer to 200 where they were when they were contending in the glory days, then yeah, I mean, that should buy an ace and a couple big bats in the lineup. And I think that's, you know, if the Nats last year had an ace and like a dude who could hit 30, 40 home runs, they would have been in a wild card chase. So I don't think they're going to be that far off, but this might not be the year. I would think next year would be the year. Hopefully maybe they can sniff getting into the playoffs again.
All right, Kev, Paul has a question for you. He says, how is their farm system progressing? He said, other than Cruz and Woods.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's House that we talked about, and Cavalli, who's kind of already was supposed to be at the major league level last year. You know, past that, I don't know if they have any whale level prospects. But one of the things they have done is they did reinvest a lot into player development and analytics this offseason. Rizzo hired, you know, some a guy, I'm totally blanking on his name. Sorry, I literally drove 10 hours today, so I'm laughing. But he hired away the guy from the Orioles.
I thought you watched AEW.
That's what I'm doing right after this. Anyway, so yeah, they've reinvested a little bit into to player development. You know, and TJ White looked pretty good in the prospect game. He's someone to keep an eye on. Trey Lipscomb, honestly, might be able to make the team.
That's what I thought, you
know,
yeah.
He almost, you know, I feel like if it was up to Davey Martinez, he would have made the team. But maybe they're giving Luis Garcia, you know, a month or so to, you know, show us. But I think his leash will be short. So there are a few kind of more complimentary pieces. But in terms of the superstar prospects that, you know, you could look at, it is like the big names of James Wood, you know, Dylan Cruz, and then Brady House below him. Those are the three kind of whale level prospects you hope are like part of the next big run we have.
All right, so Kevin, you already know I'm a big fan of Victor Robles. Had a solid spring, hitting over 300. Mm-hmm. If he breaks out, do you see him getting traded before the All-Star break? And could we see top prospect, you know, what Paul mentioned, James Woods, I'm like, replace him. I know Paul or Taj, replace him ASAP. Will he be there ASAP to replace Robles?
Yeah, I do think if there's an open, like if they were to trade Robles, or, you know, some people even gone as far as saying maybe like try to sell really high on Lane Thomas if someone was interested, just because, you know, he had such
a good year.
I mean, you could get like a really big couple prospects or a pitching arm or something like that, you know. But yeah, I do think Wood will be the first outfielder called up. I do think they're playing a service time game a little. Mm-hmm. There's a whole, they changed all that in the last CBA. So basically, if you, since he's not in the opening day roster, if he finishes in the top two of the rookie of the year, he still gets a full year of service time. So it's like this weird thing where the Nats, they actually, I feel like they wouldn't bring him up till June for fear that he would be too good and win the rookie of the year, and then they lose the year of time. There's all these games that go on. But basically, yeah, I do think if they were to trade Robles, would be the next one up. I think ideally they probably would want him in right field or left
field.
But
actually, would he be a center field? Would they be scared to have him a center? I was going to ask you that.
I think they could try it. I mean, I don't think he would necessarily be a bad center fielder, but I realized too in your last question, I forgot to mention Robert Hassel, who also, he's coming back from a hamate injury. He's another prospect that could, you know, he looked pretty good in spring training before I think he hurt his groin or something. He obviously has got some injury issues, but he's another guy who could be part of that outfield. But I do think, you know, an ideal outfield of the Nats in the future would be Hassel, Wood, and Cruz. And I do think it would be Cruz in center, with Wood and Hassel in the corners. But yeah, I mean, Wood can play center field, and they've had him do it in spring training. So I it wouldn't shock me if somehow Robles has a good first half and they're able to flip him for something. You know, I could see them. Wood is the most ready. I mean, he looked ready in spring training. Like Cruz looks like he still needs a little work. You know, he's not quite there yet, which is normal. But it wouldn't shock me to have them throw him in center field, but I don't think that's where he's going to be long term. You know, with the franchise.
So real quick before we go to the next question, what can you get for Robles though? What do you think you can get for Robles?
I mean, it depends on the kind of first half he would have. I mean, if he's in 300,
like low 300.
How many home runs are we if he's like 310 home runs, 30 some RBIs and like 15 stolen bases. And because defensively, I mean, one thing about Robles is defensively he's amazing, you know. I mean, and he was the center fielder on like a world championship team, and his defense is great. I mean, he has amazing range, and you know, he can rob balls at the wall. He did one in spring training, I remember at some point. You know, he's a great defender, but you know, his bat comes and goes, and I remember in 2019 he hit 19 or 20 home runs, and you thought that would develop, but it just never did. It actually went down, and he makes a ton of bone. He gets thrown out in the bases all the time. Weird bunts, whatever. I don't, you know, but if he were able to put it all together, I think you could get, I mean, there's not a lot of control left with him is the issue. It's not like a team that traded for him would have him for 3 or 4 more years or anything like that. But, yeah, I mean, if he's really killing it, you could get a return like you did for Candelario, something like that, which is DJ Hirsch was who they got back, which is, you know, pretty projectable, maybe a starter or like a really potentially a really good future bullpen piece. I mean, you could definitely get something for Robles that could help the club, because, I mean, that's a thing, you know, to the championship teams, you know, they don't just have the stars. They have, you know, it's, you know, you need the relievers, you need the fifth starter, you need all of that, right? You know, the 2019 Nats had, you know, not necessarily relievers, but, you know, they had a lot of guys on the bench, Matt Adams on the bench hitting like 25 home runs and par. And, you know, there are a lot of pieces that in play. And if you don't have to go pay $5 million to sign him on the free agent market, you know, so I do think Robles could be flipped for a useful piece if he has a good first half. But I think it would have to be a very good, he would have to just put it all together, you know. I think if he just does his normal Robles thing, but maybe his average instead of 240 is 300, but there's not a lot of slugging, not a lot out. I don't think he would bring back much. So,
all right. So I want to, Kev, I want to go to something that Taj said. I trust Rizzo, but are we trusting Martinez with the development of these young guys? And I want to read a quote from Davey saying, we are coming off one of the best spring training camps that we have had since I became the manager. I truly believe that. This group worked as hard as any other club out there every single day, and they pushed each other to be their absolute best every time they took the field. When I first read that, I was like, cap. Because I'm kind of with Taj. Like, you know, I think the honeymoon's been over. Yes, you won a World Series. Great, but you're not Francona. You got to be consistent. I understand there's been some roster turnover, but the real Nationals fans are becoming a little impatient with Davey. So I understand that question. Taj, what's your perspective on that before I ask about who's going to emerge? I know you mentioned Abrams already.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's tough. I was thinking about this today. I mean, like, you know, they hired Davey Martinez in 2018, and he's really only had, I think that first year he went basically 500, then he won the World Series, and then he's had, you know, four losing seasons, I think. You know, so if you told me the guy had been here for 6 years with four losing seasons, one 500 season, I'd be shocked he's still the manager. But the thing was last, the job he did with the team last year,
it was good. It was really good.
You know? He did really so good last year. That would be the, you know, that would be what would make me think that he's maybe the right guy still for this job. You know, you saw how Abrams went from pretty mediocre in the first half to looking like potentially a superstar, like a second coming of Trey Turner or something like that, you know, in the back half. And you did see something like Jake Irvin. I mean, I know Davey's not the pitching coach, but you didn't really hear a lot about him on prospect list, but he looks like he could be like, you know, pretty solid four starter. And there are, you know, you do say Ruiz is not defensively, but offensively is starting to develop. I mean, I don't know. I think I like Davey as a major league manager, especially for a younger team. You know, and with the player development in general, I do think a lot of the criticism has been in the minor leagues. The player development hasn't been so hot. And like a lot of these guys are flaming out and not really ever getting to the major leagues. Or by the time they do, they're not living up to the hype they had as prospects. So I do think they've made an effort to hire more people and work on that. But yeah, I would give Davey this year and, you know, just see how it goes. I don't think he's like on a hot seat, like they have to win anything. But I mean, if they come out and they go back to winning 55 games or something awful like that, then yeah, maybe he's not the guy. But you know, I do think, you know, the young position players seem to be more or less doing okay.
So. The learner still got the cheap.
Paul, that one, wow, folks don't let that go.
Tell us something we don't know, Paul.
I know, right?
But during the offseason, remember there was a little rumbling that Juan Soto saying he didn't really want to leave here, right? Yeah. Even though there was a lot of evidence to prove otherwise. He put that out there. But at the time, you know, when he was here, he was becoming the face of the franchise. Who do you expect on this current group to emerge as that guy?
You know, from the position players that are on the team right now, CJ, I mean, he's the one I'm most excited about. I think in the second half, it was 33 stolen bases and like three or four times caught stealing and just pretty much could steal a base whenever he wanted. He unlocks something. He figures something out in the second half on that. And you know, he could work on his averages on base percentage, but the power. And maybe it's just an eye test thing, but there's something about, he's not a big guy, you know, but he's hitting like upper deck tanks, and, you know, he's just, you know, and that there's just something impressive. He obviously has a lot of athletic ability. His fielding improved somewhat. So, CJ would be the one on the current team that I think could really become an all-star. And then on the pitching side, I think Gore has a lot of upside that he hasn't really tapped into yet. I think he hopefully could get up to like being a decent number two. And same with Josiah. Josiah's consistently improved each year. He started adding in a cutter. You know, I 2 years ago, he was giving up a ton of home runs, throwing a four-seam fastball, but he started cutting the ball more and learning how to pitch a little more craftily instead of just throwing it by people. And, you know, he's the opening day starter tomorrow. And I'm hoping he has a good season. I don't think either Gray or Gore, they're not like Scherzer, like they're going to just go out and like dominate for eight innings in the playoffs kind of a guy, or Strasburg when he was healthy. But I do think they could be very good starters, like in the first run, guys like Jordan Zimmermann or Gio Gonzalez when they were good. I'm hoping they turn into those kind of players. And then the Nats probably have to buy. They are going to get better. I doubt they'll be picking at like the first pick in a draft or anything like that, and being able to draft some guy like that. I think they're probably going to have to buy an ace, which is what they did with Scherzer in 2015. He was on the Tigers and they just gave him a lot of money, and all of a sudden he was the ace here and it worked out. So, but for breakout player, I mean, CJ's the one I think can really make a leap and become a true all-star, you know. I'm not going to say MVP candidate level, but I do think he has like really high upside, like almost Trey Turner-esque if he can figure a few things out.
So on X, at National Source, X agrees with you about Gore. They said Gore would be a guy that's their breakout. Actually, Paul has a question for you too as well. It says, who is the glue guy for the Nats this year?
That's an interesting question. You think it would be like Lane Thomas, someone like that. He pretty much plays every day. You know, he's not a superstar, but produces. But, you know, I mean, Ruiz obviously is the one that they've extended, and he's there for 8 years. But I'll be honest, I have a hard time answering that just because I feel like that's something you'd have to ask the players in the clubhouse. You know, who's the guy who shows up to work every day and, you know, lunch pail leader, that kind of thing. I'm not really sure because it is such a – you know, it was a team that went through a lot of transition the last couple of years. So I'm not sure that they have that guy yet. Obviously, the first run, it was Jason Worth for a while because he was the guy who made all the money and they had to listen to him. But sadly, the only guys who make money on this team are Corbin, who's been awful, and Strasburg, who's hurt. So they don't, you know, there's no leader based on salary on this team. But I guess I would say, like, I obviously don't work there. I don't know who that is, but you would think it would be someone like Elaine Thomas or maybe Josiah at this point. He's really, you know, they moved him up to opening day starter. He usually is healthy, knock on wood, and doesn't miss, you know, he's there. He pitches every fifth day. I feel like Josiah, Elaine Thomas would be the glue guys. But again, you know, that would be a good one to ask a player because, you know, I don't know that locker room.
All right, yeah, you got to get down to West Palm Beach, man. Enjoy some.
Go to Cincinnati, bro. He about to find out.
I know. Nothing against Cincinnati, but I have been to West Palm Beach and it's much nicer. So we'll just
hey, so. Yeah. Okay, man. When we think of the Nats, man, we think about starting pitching. We look the history of the Nats. They don't have, like you mentioned, they don't have Scherzer. They don't have Strasburg. But they have, like you mentioned, Desai Gray, Mackenzie Gore. Between those two, who do you expect to be like the lead of that pitching staff? Because when we think about the Nats, we think about who's their lead dog in terms of the history of their pitching. Who is their lead dog for you in 2024?
I mean, I think you have to say Josiah until Gore can take it away from him, or okay. Irvin even this season. I mean, Josiah, they gave him the opening day start. He was the Nats' one all-star last year. You know, he didn't have a dominant season, but he had a good season. And, you know, I think in the first half, his ERA was around 3 or, you know, it kind of, you know, again, sometimes with younger pitchers, they hit a wall as they get towards the end of the season. But hopefully maybe this year he's more prepared for that. But one thing I do like about Josiah, he seems very interested in the science of pitching. I know he went to some pitching labs this offseason. He's changing his repertoire each year, and that's a good sign. You know what I mean? He's always kind of tweaking his craft and trying to further master it. So I would say it's Josiah. But Gore, you know, if he can improve his control a little bit. I mean, it's funny. Gore reminds me so much of Gio Gonzalez from the first run. I mean, he's left-handed. He's got I think his fastball is a little more electric than Gio's, obviously. He's got a big looping curveball, but then all of a sudden you'll see some games where he'll walk the bases loaded or do very Gio things, you know. So if Gore can put it together, you know, I think he could be the ace of the staff. But I think for now you have to say it's Josiah. And Jake Irvin's an interesting wild card because, you know, he had a really bad first start in spring training, but that he was pretty dominant through the – you know, he – really pitched great for most of his starts this spring. Josiah would be the lead dog at the, like, today for sure. But that obviously can change. It's a young team, and they're looking for stars to emerge, so that can change.
But hopefully it versus Cavalli, though. Cavalli, right? Hopefully.
Yeah. Cavalli, yeah. I mean, he was looking good at the end of spring training last year before he, you know, screwed up his elbow and needed the TJ. So you hope that he can come back and be healthy and be good. Yeah, I mean, it'll really change the calculus for the – if he comes back and he looks like a solid 3 or 4 or so, you know, something like that, or even, in a perfect world, like a 2 or 3, then you really look at this Nat staff and you're like, okay, they're like an ace away from being a good staff. You know, you would have an ace that they'd have to pay for, Gray, Gore, Cavalli, and Irvin as the fifth starter. That's a good staff, you know, if Cavalli comes back healthy. So we'll see. You know, yeah, a lot of variables still for the Nats this year, obviously, as they're rebuilding. But there is like a path where all these things work out. Maybe they're, you know, a shade under 500 and they're a decent team. You know, it's hard to say, but.
Well, Kev, man, it's been a pleasure having you on, man. Look, you know what? You pretty much – oh, yeah, question, Ray? I'm sorry.
No, he got the Expos hat.
Oh, Expos hat? You know what?
Yeah.
I like that hat. That is fire.
Thank you, yeah. Yeah, I'm a big hat guy. So this was –
Oh, I like the hat.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like the hat. Yeah, I want to get the hat too. All right,
I'll text you where I got it.
Yeah, text me. I like that hat a lot. Actually, I'm a big hat person myself. So Kev, thanks for being on. Before we let you go, as always, when we do like our audio, just like video, to let folks know how they can reach you, how they can catch you on social media, and also how just plug Talk Nats as well.
Yeah. So Talk Nats. It's talknats.com. It's at Talk Nats on X. I hate saying that. I still want to say Twitter, but on X. And it's a great Nats community. It's really intelligent. It's even if you read the Washington Post or some other mainstream things, Talk Nats is like kind of like the next level deep dive of really getting into, you know, that the prospects and some analytics and some things you're not going to necessarily get like in a headline, you know, in a little blurb in a paper. It goes a lot deeper than that. And it's a great community of people. I mean, I've met like a ton of people who their comment board's amazing. Mm-hmm. You meet people in real life. It's super cool. And then me, it's just at @K_Nibley, on X, Twitter,
Kevin, you got love, Grant Paulson.
Oh my God, I will take that. Oh,
that's what I'm talking about.
Thank you. And unlike, I was funny. I literally drove out to Cincinnati today. I was actually listening to their show, but unlike Grant Paulson, I'm happy that the Wiz and the Caps are staying in DC. I'm really thrilled about that. Some of the best news that I, you know, regardless of how opening day goes tomorrow, that's a great thing for the city of Washington for, you know, next 25 years. But yeah, blah, blah, blah. Kevin Nibley or at @K_Nibley on X. baseball. I also work in like a television, so a lot of television, film, movie tweets, awesome. All sorts of stuff. So follow me there.
Hey, Kev, thanks for being on, man. And yeah, we'll catch AEW. I'm gonna catch the repeat.
Okay, cool, guys. All right.
We'll chat about it later. Thanks, Kev. Thanks, Kev.
All right. Take care. Okay.
All right, man, it's dope. That's Kevin Nibley from Talk Nats, man. Cool dude. Hey, Paul, thanks for that compliment, man. I'm sure he appreciated that too, man. That's real talk. All right, Ray, let's get because we went overtime. This has been jumping though, so I'll give
credit. 100% overtime. It's been jumping, my guy.
You know what I'm saying? You already know.
But you know what though? It's worth it.
It definitely is. All right, man. Opening day is March, but we all know what March is about, Ray. It's about the madness. That's what March is all about. We did our men's bracket last week. First off, I want to see how we look though. Like I felt like, I mean, I know Tennessee's.
I know Tennessee. How my personal one looks great. Oh my gosh. Like,
then why you say it like that? I ain't do a personal.
But go ahead,
like
go ahead. Because you sound arrogant, so I won't do that.
No, you're arrogant. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead, bro.
Go ahead. Check out bracket though. You know, as a show.
Appreciate it, man. He is really good. Yeah, he is, man. No, I'm saying our bracket. No, go with yours, bro. I thought like
I'm in the 74th percentile. I told Cam Mingo, I know he's not viewing tonight. At least I don't think he is. He may come back and watch later. But I told him about Kentucky. He put Kentucky in his final four. I warned him.
I didn't do that either. I didn't do that.
Oh, no. And I still got Houston as my champion. They had a close game, of course, in the second round. But
that's my champion.
No real big, like, shockers for me. It was Gracie and Oakland go out there and hoop, though. And the way they eliminated – I love the mid-majors, of course. You know how I do. I root for Cinderellas and all. But I don't see like a George Mason type team or St. Peter's from a couple mm-hmm. years ago. Of course, I was going Florida Atlantic, and they came back in a furious rally, but then Northwestern got them about it, which shocked me, considering they went to the Final Four last year. So that was one that disappointed me. But I'm going to jump ahead a little bit to go to your question about like the men's side. The women's
let's go right
side,
to that one. Let's go. That's the very best. Let's go right to that.
Yeah, listen. Bro. I watch a lot of college hoops and you know, the discussion about Caitlin Clark, $5 million from offer from Ice Cube that just came out today. The Big Three can pay her more than the WNBA. So sad.
That's crazy.
Here's the thing. What's crazy is Caitlin Clark isn't even my story. Like, West Virginia should have beat them at Iowa. The referees, oh my gosh. If y'all saw that game, West Virginia got ripped on some calls. But I'm all about teams at this point. In South Carolina, if you beat an eighth seed by 47.
They
beat North Carolina by 47, bro.
They don't.
Think about this. Well, they weren't playing a school from a small conference. They beat North Carolina by 47 in the second round. When I tell you that South Carolina women's basketball is so dominant, to me, that's the story of the tournament, March Madness as a whole, men's or women's side. They are that dominant. Like, I don't see anybody right now that can upset, in my eyes, that can upset South Carolina. As much individual talent as there is on the women's side, because you got Juju in here, I see, and of course, like Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, LSU played a tough, second round matchup where they were down 10 in the second half, late in the second half. Mm-hmm. But who can challenge South Carolina? Even on the men's side, I don't see nobody that dominant, even though UConn has looked really good.
UConn's been dominant, bro. They've been that dominant. That's who's been
not like South Carolina dominant, though.
They killed Northwestern.
They did.
They killed.
Good to me, but
they killed. I'm just saying, like, they're killing everybody, bro. They're not even, you know, you. All right, so this is real talk. We talk about this today in men's college basketball. Is a lot of parity. You got people like struggling with squads they shouldn't struggle with. If you could still forget the first seed if you're number one seed, but if you can blow out the second seed in men's college basketball, that says a lot. Like, UConn has been scary good. Like, they've been scary.
I agree that they've been blowing out.
But
teams.
Not like, yes. I know you're saying though, like, not like South Carolina. I know your point.
It's
totally
on a
correct.
Whole nother level. But here's the thing though. Again, I may be biased here because I picked Houston, but I still see teams like Houston and Purdue being able to beat UConn. But I can't see nobody on the women's side with all that talent that can beat South Carolina.
They shouldn't, but I didn't even think they could lose before. Like, they shouldn't. I didn't think they could should have lost last year.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But they did. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're right. I totally agree with you. I don't see to your point, I don't see anybody beating South Carolina. But I didn't think South Carolina was going to lose last year, though, and they did.
What's apples and oranges, bro? South Carolina and UConn? Is that what I'm
saying? Yeah, that's what they like that. Yeah, they're like this. To your point, like, they're so dominant. I think both of those squads are so dominant.
But it's amazing how on the women's side, right? Paige Beckers, did you list her in terms of like the women to watch? You know, you got Juju, like I said.
I had Cam, and she balled.
She carried UConn. Now, I love Aaliyah Edwards. I got to cover University of Maryland. I think she's one of the best women's basketball players I've seen ever in person. I think she's that dope. But Paige took over. She took
you
over
know that
second
is right?
round game, huh?
Who's the NC State? You know who he's talking about from St. John's? Is it the men's? I mean, not the NC State.
For at least a decade, Eric. Woo, that's interesting. Well, yeah, I mean, what's wild is the men's side has been good this year, but when you think about individual talent, if you watch the coverage, there's always highlights of past, past like stars that emerge from the tournament. Steph Curry, they always showing them Steph Curry highlights.
Casey or more.
For sure. NC State. Definitely. NC State has been a good story. I'm not gonna lie. I was sleeping on them.
I try to pick them, but I told you, and you argue with me. I try to get NC State. You're like NC State. Yeah, big boy gets buckets.
NC State again. I guess it matters when you play your best basketball.
It does though. Real talk. But it does though. It does though.
Eric said the women's has been better than the men's for at least a decade.
For a decade? Yeah, I did. But for a decade, I didn't read the decade part. I didn't pay attention.
Yeah. He said for a decade. I want to go back to it.
Yeah, go back to it. Go ahead. Talk about that. I'm not.
No. Sure for the past, he said. So for the past 10 years, and you think about guys who were in college in the last 10 years. You think about somebody that may have emerged. But if you compare that to the women's side, the amount of star power that's been on the women's side in comparison to, and the amount of dominant teams. When you think about even the coaches, maybe You got Geno. You have, I mean, if you look at the women's coaches, obviously Dawn Staley. Yeah. You got Tara Vanderveer. You have so many really good Hall of Fame coaches. I love and Duke. God, she's a DMV girl. Why am I losing? Kara Lawson. I love what she's doing at Duke. Duke in the Sweet 16 now. The women's side might be, in terms of just star power, in terms of coaching, it may have the edge right now over the men's side, but both sides have been excited. Eric, you're a Gamecock, bro. Okay, I get it. UNBC, well, UNBC beat Virginia, right? But Purdue lost to a 16 seed last year, too, though. Even though Purdue is like that, they can disappoint you in the tournament.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm so mad they're going far. They annoy me because every year I pick them to go far and they disappoint me. The year I don't pick them, they're doing this.
So one of my favorite players in on the men's side and is entering this year's draft. I'm pretty sure he ain't announced yet. Rob Dillingham, overtime elite. When you got overtime elite, and now with the G League Ignite going away, I'm wondering what the landscape of college basketball is going to look like on the men's side moving forward. Because yes, we are lacking sort of that star power on the men's side that used to carry the tournament. I mean, Melo to me is one of the Kemba probably is the one that he ripped through the tournament. He's a star.
And Shabazz, like, Napier. Yeah, he killed that tournament, bro.
That was after
Kemba. That was after Kemba.
But still, I'm just saying, I wonder what the landscape, when are we going to get that star that goes to college and everybody wants to see him play?
It's going to be, real talk. I mean, it's Cooper. It's everybody wants to see Duke from Duke. Everybody wants to see him because he's been on all Baller's Life and everything. Everybody's been excited to see him.
Yeah.
Cooper Flag, right? Cooper Flag, yeah.
We'll see.
He's the one I think that everybody, but he has to produce though. Like, I thought people wanted to see Wagner, but he ain't produced.
Oh, DJ Wagner.
Yeah, everybody wanted to see
Dillingham. Man, Dillingham is in bruh. Discussion for number one pick right
now. Yeah, bro, for real.
That's how good he was this season.
Off the bench. Off the bench.
He's real out here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He is real. But regardless of what we're saying, March hasn't lost its luster, bro. Like, March is still
good. I think the women's.
So many great games.
Yeah, but I think the women's holding it down with star power. That thing is so true. Like, just like you talking about South Carolina. That, like, they haven't even been talked about as trill as they are.
Yeah,
everybody talking about everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's talking about Juju. Everybody's talking about Caitlin Clark. They're talking about Angela Reese. Like, and obviously the coach because she's going through.
I don't like how on the women's side you get to play at home in the first two rounds.
I think that's so. That has to change though. That I don't like that myself. I don't like that myself.
I can't stand that, bro.
I can't, you know what I'm saying? I agree with that one. I don't like that. It's still the world's greatest sport event.
Oh, for sure.
Where anything can happen, and it usually does. I agree. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, true. Like, yeah, it's the star power. Like, Ray, you mentioned an excellent point. South Carolina is holding it down. They're dominant. But folks ain't really, like, it's almost like you expect that from Dawn Staley and her crew. Like, no, so that's why no one really talks about it as hard. But everyone's talking about Juju. Everyone's talking about, you know, like Cameron Brink. I saw her play against Norfolk State. You know what I'm saying? Like, and everybody's like, they're talking about her. They talk because she could be like a top five pick in the WNBA draft. Obviously, Caitlin Clark, number one in the NBA and WNBA draft. So everyone's talking about these individuals and Angel Reese. So everyone's talking about them, but they're not talking about South Carolina. To your point, right? It's the best team. Like, it's hard to beat that team.
Here's what we can talk about real quick is this. Mm-hmm. With NIL the way it is now, I think that's more of an incentive for guys to stay in school because that's one thing the women's side has over the men's side is you got juniors and seniors, experienced players who some came back to make sure that they could get another crack at a championship. On the men's side, it's just not there, man.
I will say this
to old heads too.
And that is this thing. If you're saying, I think the men's side NIL. Only helps the players because I think Gil said this on his pod. So I'm gonna give him credit. I'm not gonna act like I stole this, and I totally agree with him. It only helps players who plan to stay in school. Players, because if you're one and done, you don't care. And NIL is not gonna help you. You make your bag in the lottery. You're gonna make more money in the lottery, period. If you're that if you're that dude,
that's true. I guess
women, if you're that dude,
if you make more money in college,
yeah. Like, and if you're that dude, you're gonna make more. And for the women, they make more money in college. Their NIL deals gonna make, they make more money in college than the WNBA. So they're making more money regardless. The NBA for like the men's college game, if you're like, if DJ Wagner was good, there'd be no need for him to stay in college. He can make more money in the NBA.
True, true, true. But that's where the NBA needs to, again, look at their rules, because the NBA has a problem when you get guys in the league like Dyson Daniels and the Thompson twins and others who, yeah, they don't transition right away to the NBA like a LeBron.
They're not good. Mello. I agree. You know what I'm saying? They're not good enough though. That's their
problem. But look at the path they took. G League Ignite, Overtime Elite.
I know.
And they could have been in college and it could have been.
It should have been. I totally agree.
So the NBA needs to reassess. Okay, what are we doing? You know what I'm saying? They can go to school, make money, and they can make the college game great again. Period.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. I think there are certain players that they should go, like, I don't know, like the Thompson twins should went to college. They should have went to college. Like it would have been better. They were lottery picks, so that's dope. But if they produced at a high level in college, they would, instead of being later on, I think they would have been a top. They could have been top three, top five. But I think Scoot Henderson should have went to college too. So
yeah, you Scoot Henderson. Look, I mean, now see, he looked like,
I think he was better be going to college.
Guys, that was good from the very beginning.
But yeah, but I think again, he better.
Where did he go? He played for the Ignite.
Yes, I'm saying. I think he better suited going to college.
Taking this,
yeah.
This was the Melo Ball effect. I swear it was.
Yeah.
Once Melo Ball took that route where he like, nah, I'm not going to school. It seemed like everybody
needs to go back to 2 years.
Ronnie Hampton was a really good high school player, man.
I like this
really
one.
Good high school player.
Paul said, Paul said, NBA needs to go back to 2 years, then leave. I agree with that. I agree with that too. I got a tweet out there.
Anybody listening, watch the Overtime Elite reality show that's on Amazon, because if you look at Jakai Howard, when he went up against the Thompson twins, this was season one, he looked at Asar Thompson, was like, top three my ass. Like, I mean, sorry but that's how he looked at him. And it just goes to show you that, and he's going, I think, dang, where's he going? Auburn next year? He's going to college next year. Jakai Howard's going to college. He's not going to leave from Overtime Elite. So that's the good thing about Overtime Elite, though. They give you the option of either getting a scholarship there or taking a professional salary. Because once you take that professional salary, you can't go to school. But they give guys an opportunity to go to school. So I think that's still a decent option. And they make money and they have a lot of interest. But again, the college game, it does suffer a little bit because some of the top guys choose to go that route as opposed to going to school and then making some money while they're there. And what's better than college basketball? Somebody already said it. Eric said it. World's greatest sporting event. It's like the women's side. It's so sad to watch a South Carolina versus LSU game, LSU versus Kentucky, a women's game, and the crowd is sold out, standing room only. It's so much interest. TV ratings are dope, ABC. And then you'll see these same players go to the WNBA and don't get in front of half the audience.
You know what? See, this,
it's a market issue. Yes.
Yeah, it's a market issue because they said that the WNBA doesn't do, if WNBA did what college sports does, they'd be better.
I agree with that.
The WNBA does what college sports does. Because think about, all right, Ray, the simplistic way of this. They set up the bracket for certain matchups. They set up their women's bracket for TV. You could tell they did that purposely. The WNBA doesn't, they don't take it to that level. They don't take it to that level. One thing about the NCAA, I'll give them credit. They will promote a star, bro. A star.
Well, that's the problem with the WNBA, because somebody hit me up earlier, like, you know why Ice Cube can offer $5 million to Caitlin Clark? Because people actually watch and they market that league so well.
Yeah.
I go, you watch YouTube, Big Three, you watch the games on YouTube after the fact.
I do.
And it's actually good basketball. You have diverse coaches. You have star coaches from the women's and men's side. That's what Ice Cube was saying. Like, we're making history over here. And he even goes to the street basketball world and gets guys.
Yeah.
It's amazing how he's marketed that product. And college basketball is very good at marketing. If we can get back to the NBA changing their rules, get these guys in school, then college basketball will, I mean, by far be the best product out there, especially around March.
But I do think NIL has helped the women's college game. I know it sucks to say it, but
tremendously,
it has.
Tremendously.
Yeah, like now, because, you know, think about
Caitlin Clark, right? Is everywhere now.
Everywhere.
You see her every commercial.
Angel Reese is everywhere. It's on like social media stuff. Like, she's from.
And that's wild.
And she's not even the best player, though. She's not even their best player. Like, real talk, she's not even their best player. But I mean, she's one of their best players, but she's not their best player. But she's marketable. Like, she's marketable as hell. Like, yeah, look at what's going on.
She made the greatest move in transfer portal history at this point.
Facts. So,
and that's something else that we can't even dive into that tonight. Transfer portal,
I hate the transfer portal.
That affects college basketball too, man.
Yeah.
But it's been a lot of great basketball play. Our picks look pretty good. You got our bracket in front of you. Our selections, and it's been fun. Hey, all you all watching, it's been dope because again, it's about the schools. The schools travel well, the fans, the alumni, the students, the bands. It's just a great atmosphere regardless. And I feel like the NBA could even take some notes from how college does things. Because the NBA product sometimes, you watch college and it's so exciting. And you go to NBA, it's like,
you know why, though. That's different.
I get it. I understand. It's a long grind. 82 games, a long grind.
No, you know, when you did that too, but you already know, like, it is what it is, man. College sports.
Okay, have you watched the Giannis special? I mean, the documentary.
No, my brother told me it's really good. It was really good,
but he continues to play almost as if he's in college because he doesn't want to go back to the life that he left behind.
Oh, gotcha.
And I feel like that gets lost on guys in the league. We saw it here in Washington. No shade, but we saw it here. The whole Nick Young crew, they could care less about winning. They was enjoying the lifestyle.
They didn't get two, you know what's
Andre
about
Blatch, they didn't care Jamal about McGee, it. But when you got guys Andre like Blatch. Yeah. And that Kobe mentality where they continue, even LeBron, where they continue, Melo, they want to be great at the next level, and they make the NBA a great product. That's why OKC is one of the best markets to play in.
Yeah, they are, and they
because
play
it's
hard.
A college like atmosphere.
Yeah, they play hard. So I would say Minnesota
is it for me. I'm biased though.
Obviously, I could tell, but Minnesota too. Minnesota plays like that too. They play with that college mindset. They play hard. It's youth. You know, it's the innocence of basketball. That's what I like about college. Even football, before all the money and stuff, like throwing money, NIL, but it's a youth. That's what makes it awesome. Now, college basketball more than college football, because college football, kids will like sell out the bowl game, so that's different. But in college basketball, everybody's about the tournament. So the season is very important because you need the season to build your resume for the tournament. So everybody's still playing hard every game because your resume is everything. And then when you get into the tournament, it's like it's the straight passion of it, man. You can't beat it. Like that's to your point, Ray. You can't beat it because you see it. And the NBA is just different. You got dudes that's getting the bag, so they're not really. They live a different lifestyle now. You know what I'm saying? They bougie. They bougie hoopers. You want to keep it a buck.
That's why I reference Giannis. You don't have that, and that's why college is one of the best things ever. I mean, it has its flaws, but I tell you, it's one of the best products in sports. Period.
Definitely.
Best right, postseasons.
Definitely.
We're almost 300 strong tonight, fam. We appreciate you.
Yeah, man. We did. Yeah, appreciate y'all, man. Yeah, man.
Hit that subscribe button if you're on YouTube.
Hey, Ray's right. Hit that subscribe button if you're on YouTube.
We're going to be at 1K soon, fam. We just grow, you know.
Yeah, and also, man, if you're on X, man, you don't follow us, follow us, bro. Oh, wait. What did you just say?
You know who he's talking about, Jordan Poole. He's talking about Jordan Poole.
Hey, yo. Yeah, Paul, you the man. You ain't lying there though. Jordan Poole is like, that Ice Spice thing is like, like crazy.
That's a great. Hey, Jordan Poole is a great example though, bro. As to what's wrong with the league, man.
He's a very good example.
That's one thing I'll say about Draymond. Draymond was the same dude at Michigan State. The way he played with that passion, it couldn't be Duke for some reason though. But at the same time,
Draymond's a little different. Because Draymond, I feel like the antics. This is a whole different discussion. The antics that didn't happen. So he got a certain way, got to a certain level.
He got the money. Yes, I agree with that. I just want all that to play. I ain't talking about his antics.
He always played with that passion.
We'll let you know all that passion, bro.
Yeah, but he wasn't getting texts like that in Michigan State either, though. But that's a whole different thing. Now he gets texts all the time.
You're a kid. College coaches tend to have a better.
When he was with Mark Jackson, though, I get you saying, but he was with Mark Jackson, he was not doing all this. He was just playing basketball.
Rest in peace, Coach Thompson. He said it. He said, bro, I'm a dictator. You're going to listen to me. Period.
Maybe. Or you, or like we talk about Jimmy Butler, you get a little different. Just saying.
But he still plays hard, though.
No, Jimmy plays hard, too. I'm just talking about their mentality is different. Oh, like, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The way they carry themselves, all that.
Yeah, it's all I'm saying. He's the same. Like, Jimmy plays hard, but, you know, he changed. You know, we talk about this discussion all the time. He plays hard, but he changed.
People do change with the money. I agree. Yeah. What would you – last question. What would you rather see? Would you rather see – like, I can't think of his name right now. Somebody put in the chat if you can. The dude from Oakland, you saw he wasn't even verified after he
oh yeah, dude, this the first round. Threes. Yeah, he's talking all that track. Yeah, I knew you talking. I forgot his name.
He
older too. He one of them older. He an older.
Oh dude, so yeah, but still, but would you rather see him emerge in college, knowing he's not going to the next level, or would you rather see a Jimmy Butler emerge and then start rocking the shade, start putting leaning the head back? You know what I'm saying?
That's a good question.
What would you rather see? I love the March Stars.
I like the March Stars over anything. I would like that. The March Stars go over everything.
The one like, I like. That's your favorite song.
Oh no, it's a March Star. I agree with you. It's a March Star. It's like, almost like I like the dude from Gonzaga who didn't get a chance in the NBA. Timmy, I love Timmy. I thought Timmy used to get buckets, bro. Timmy used to get buckets, bro. That dude, that voice.
For the win.
Timmy used to give.
Tyler Hansbrough was a star, even though you call him Mad Dog Madsen.
He's a Mad Dog Madsen. Yeah, you see, he was humble. See, Paul, no, he was humble.
Yeah, it's great to watch, man.
He was humble.
The NBA messed it up. The egos, the money. Maybe they need to decrease these salaries a bit. Because NBA don't even have the same attendance as it used to, or TV numbers for real.
No.
But look at
March. We hit 300. Woohoo! I stayed on a little long. 301! 302! Keep going!
Stop, bro. You crazy. Thank you. Hey, Paul said it. I prefer the Oakland story. And Oakland was close to advancing to the Sweet 16. Look at Shaheen Holloway. He took St. Peter's to the Sweet 16. Or did he take him to the Elite 8? He went back to his alma mater. Got that dream job, man. I can't wait for the next HBCU to do that. I can't wait.
For HBCU,
I can't wait.
Yeah, you got it.
For the next Norfolk State or Coppin State, you know what I'm saying?
It's got
to
be somebody.
That Cinderella school.
It's got to be somebody who it's going to be Del State. They got ballers out there in Del State.
Hey, I like them, man. I like them.
Let's go. The whole cuz stays. All right, man. It's time to shut the show down. But it was a great show, man. 304. What's up, man? Keep going up. Hey, man. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. Like Ray said, man, don't stop, bro. Don't. Oh, you trash. Really? That's what we're doing? Really? Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on X at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit that red subscribe button, like this video. Also, check out the Urban Sports Scene at www.urbansportscene.com. Hey. Shout out Howard, man. Ray, that's your man. Howard, hey, you know.
I don't want this show to end, man. It's been so dope.
I know, man. It's a great show. 309, man. It's good show, man. Good show. All right, man. Thank you. Again, thanks to everybody for tuning in, man. Real talk. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, fam, we really appreciate y'all. We out.